We're going to talk about those signs and other things that are blocking out the scenery in Wisconsin this hour as we talk about the efforts underway by the group Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, June the 4th. We'll wonder this hour what you think is hurting Wisconsin's scenic beauty, or what you think could better preserve the state's scenery, as we talk with Charlie Weath, Executive Director of Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin. The group is meeting tomorrow in Door County to assess the status of Wisconsin's scenic beauty and to talk about what policy changes are in order to keep the state looking great. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're concerned that Wisconsin is in danger of becoming ugly?
Well, in some places it is. It's already happened. Go up Highway 41, for example, it's changed. It's not the same.
How so?
Well, we've got not only a lot of billboards, but we've also got a lot of businesses that have erected all sorts of things without a lot of controls and zoning, and it's just dilapidated and run down and not looking very good for Wisconsin. Mm.
Besides billboards and junk along Highway 41, what other threats are there to Wisconsin's scenic beauty?
Well, we've got a number of things that are going on, not just in Wisconsin, but all across the country. We have the usual strip malls and the old song, the ticky-tack kind of developments where everything looks exactly the same. You know, you've seen, you go just about anywhere and everything is got a little less character than it could have or it should have. And we've also seen a lot of things across the state, not just in our urban environments, but in our rural and suburban environments where we've let things go.
Yeah, so what is it that you hope to do with the meeting tomorrow in Door County?
Well, a lot of people believed that the Highway Beautification Act of 1965, the thing that was championed by Lady Bird Johnson, dealt with all that, that billboards were banned, that junkyards had to disappear, be screened, that there was going to be wildflower plantings and tree plantings and all those sorts of things, the trash cleanup. And there have been a lot of things in those areas, but it's not quite what a lot of people think. And what we're going to try and do is explain what we have as far as controls and regulations and how they work and who takes care of them and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And maybe what needs to be done to strengthen those controls?
Exactly, and do so in a balanced way. The whole idea here is not necessarily become, in some people's minds, that you know this is going to be really repressive and impossible and hard for business or anti-business. But in some cases, it's trying to promote the fact that the people that come here, live here, visit here, come here for the beauty, and that if we lose that, then we lose the gem that is really the driving force behind all this.
Yeah. Well, you talked about one ugly drive, that being Highway 41 and all the billboards and junk. Any beautiful drives in Wisconsin?
Oh, we've got plenty of them. Mm-hmm. And even there's sections of 41 that are just really wonderful, too. It just happens that that's the one that I get the most complaints about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of people take that when they go up north to their cabins and resorts and hunting and fishing, so they see the changes and they're not happy about them.
Yeah.
But you know, we have a lot of wonderful drives. We have in all 72 counties, we've got a wonderful thing to look at some point in time. All four seasons, whether you're driving or walking or riding a bike or whatever.
Yeah. Talk about, though, that we only have one official scenic byway in the state?
Yep. A lot of people are surprised to hear that. We only have one.
And it is?
The Great River Road.
Along the Mississippi.
Along the Mississippi. Yep. And the thing about a scenic byway is it provides two things. One, it's something that gives an identity that you say the Great River Road to somebody almost anywhere in the world, and they'll know they're talking about the Mississippi River. But it also provides some protections, and it's not just about billboards. It means that you have to be a little bit more careful about the kinds of development that you have along that corridor, because the whole purpose is to try and maintain that scenic beauty, because it's understood that it is a resource for tourism and travel.
Yeah, you want to see more scenic byways or roadways like this?
Oh, absolutely. And there are two proposals right now that are being worked on. One on Highway 60 from Lodi to Bridgeport, and then the other one on Highway 45 up in the North Woods to the Michigan border. But there are plenty of other locations that a scenic byway would be a wonderful thing for that particular stretch of road and those communities along it. It would increase tourism and travel there. There are a lot of folks that they don't want to just get on the interstate and fly. They want to see things when they go, and that's also part of the Rustic Roads program, which is unique to Wisconsin,
yeah,
which touches on local and county highways as opposed to the bigger state and federal highways.
We're talking with Charlie Weath, Executive Director of Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin. The group is meeting tomorrow in Door County to talk about the status of Scenic Wisconsin and what needs to be done to keep signs and development and clutter and junk from hurting our landscape. We wonder what you think is the biggest threat to Wisconsin's scenic beauty. 1-800-642-1234. And what should be done about it? 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on this Wednesday, June the 4th. I'm Joy Cardine. We will talk about the race for the White House coming up after 7 o'clock. It's over on the Democratic side, or is it? Barack Obama claimed victory last night in securing the Democratic presidential nomination, but Hillary Clinton did not concede. So we'll talk about what it all means coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about how beautiful Wisconsin is, or how beautiful it isn't, talking about the threats to Wisconsin's scenic beauty and things that can be done to preserve the beauty of Wisconsin's natural landscape. Our guest is with a group that's trying to do this, Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin. Charlie Weath, the group meeting in Door County tomorrow to talk about these issues. And we welcome your questions, your thoughts on this. Do you think that Wisconsin is in threat of becoming ugly? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you have a thought about the best thing about Wisconsin, the most beautiful thing about Wisconsin? Do you have a nomination for the ugliest thing about Wisconsin? We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. We start with Eugene and Viola. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
If you will follow, take 14 out of Madison until you get to Reedstown, then take Highway 131 north toward Ontario. That's just a gorgeous, the last 2 weeks in May and the first 2 weeks in June, that's just been a gorgeous drive. Once you leave Viola, going toward Lafarge is 6 miles. In the first 3 miles, you'll pass five ponds that are all spring-fed on the right-hand side, and there aren't any billboards. And when I was a child growing up here in the 50s, from Viola to Ontario, it's 18 miles, and there were 13 bridges on the Kickapoo River. You crossed them, and you couldn't wait. You couldn't cross the bridge until somebody else crossed. You always had to wait on somebody else. Most of all those bridges are now gone, but you'll also go through the Kickapoo Valley Reserve when you get to Ontario. That's Wildcat Mountain State Park.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
It's beautiful in the summertime.
And you don't have any billboards cluttering it up.
Nope. And if you can come in from the other end, you come in from Toma. It's 24, 25 miles from Toma down to Ontario.
Yeah.
But that's still a pretty decent drive.
Yeah. Are you familiar with that area, Charlie Weath?
Oh, yes, I am. In fact, I have friends in Madison who think it's strange that I will drive through Viola to get to Madison. and it's simply because I'm not always in that much of a hurry, and I try and take many of those roads when I can. And of course, in a former life, I used to sell cheese and sausage across the state, so I went to virtually every cheese factory and grocery store there was, and so I went to a lot of the small towns and took a lot of county highways and saw a lot of wonderful sights. And there's a lot of wonderful places, and that's part of what we want to do is continue to preserve that. But as we expand our businesses and communities and the highways get wider and bigger, you start to see more billboards and we lose that.
Now, how come that area doesn't have billboards?
The population.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not on the way to the Dells. I mean, that's it's all about the numbers and the bodies. If Highway 41 was a rural highway like 131, you wouldn't see the billboards. But because it's a four-lane highway, you're going to see more of the big billboards. And that's the reason.
Do you want to see billboards come down on Highway 41?
Well, I think a lot of people do. The thing that's changed is, and this is, again, where there's a misconception. If the land is zoned commercial or industrial, a billboard can go up. And what's happening is along these major corridors, the agricultural land is being changed in zoning, and so all of a sudden you can see these things go up, even when they've got plenty of blank ones that they can't sell. And there's a lot of different reasons for them, and they're all economic.
Yeah, I see on your pamphlet for your meeting tomorrow, though, that billboards aren't the only issue that that concern you. You're also concerned about cell and utility tower management, worried about even wind farm placement, all sorts of issues.
Well, just about anything that is man-made or man-manipulated, for that matter, is something that we want to take a look at. That doesn't mean that it's always bad. Of course, some of the most scenic things in the world are man-made. The Brooklyn Bridge, the Merrimack Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge,
mm-hmm.
are three off the top of my head that everyone's familiar with. It's the choices that we make as to whether they're context-sensitive or not. And the thing is that there are wind farm proposals, in particular up in the Door County area, Kewaunee and so forth, that a lot of people have concerns over. And they're not opposed to wind energy, and neither are we, but the thing is that when you're on Washington Island, do you want to see wind turbines when you look out over Lake Michigan? When you're on the Apostle Islands or a state park, they're not going to be there, but they could be next to it. So it's a matter of being a little more sensitive to the scenic issues, and unfortunately right now the state law does not require that the scenic issues be considered.
Let me take another caller. Thanks to Eugene. Barb in Baraboo is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good
morning.
I called in regarding our scenic view of Wisconsin. This is something that none of us want to take for granted. I live in the town of Baraboo, and the town of Baraboo has a comprehensive plan that addresses these such issues as our scenic views. And we've had issues come up with company trying to put in a quarry in the Baraboo Range area. And we have a group of citizens here that we band together to take it before our county and our town local officials to uphold our comprehensive plan, that this is the taxpayers' wishes for our area to protect our scenic views and the quality of life that we have come to appreciate here in the Baraboo area.
Yeah. Did I see that quarry development as I was driving on Highway 12 last week and going toward Baraboo, Barb? Or it hasn't started yet?
It was turned down by the Sauk County Board of Supervisors, so no, it has not. It mm-hmm. is not going through. And at this time, and we hope that, it doesn't. So.
No. We went to a beautiful view in your neck of the woods on the weekend to, it's Gibraltar Rock, I believe?
Yes.
Oh, is that gorgeous?
That's gorgeous over towards the Merrimack area. Mm-hmm. And the Baraboo area here, we have Devil's Lake, which everyone's familiar with. And there's the Baraboo Range that kind of it curves around this whole area. And the area out by Devil's Lake is in a protected area already where there cannot be any development. But our North Range here is not under that protection.
Mm-hmm.
So we're so thankful for the Town of Baraboo's comprehensive plan that addressed a lot of these issues.
Yeah. Thanks, Barb, for the call. Charlie Weath, do we need more protections that Barb is talking about?
Yeah, and that's exactly one of the ways to do it, is through a comprehensive plan. And what we're interested in is not necessarily pushing our agenda on other people, but rather having them be aware that they need to take these scenic issues into consideration when they're planning and looking far forward as far as the kinds of development that they're going to have, so that they either can allow them and then manage them with context-sensitive design, or say, well, we want them, but we want them here and under these certain circumstances so that we don't lose that quality of life that, that is so very important to people who live and work here. When you look at what any of the big businesses in Wisconsin does when they try and recruit people to live here and stay here, what they push is the quality of life that we have, the scenery, the environment, the quality of our education. All of those things are integrated together and an important part of the big assets that we have in this state.
Next, we go to Helen in Jefferson. Hi, Helen.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
My question is there a statewide restriction on billboards, or do counties have their own zoning restrictions, you know, on the size and the number? Or what about the interstates? Is that controlled by the state?
Well, all of the interstates and federal aid primary highways are controlled by the DOT as far as billboard placements. But if the land is zoned commercial or industrial and there is room to fit a billboard in as far as the state statute distances and heights and so forth, and there's a landowner that's willing to sign a lease, then a billboard can go in there. Otherwise, it falls to the local municipalities, and given we have 72 counties and well over 1,000 cities, villages, and towns, it becomes a very hodgepodge checkmark. And in fact, you can see where when you're going down a highway and all of a sudden a bunch of billboards pop up, what that tells you is you've just crossed an imaginary line and gone into a different township.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Do we need a statewide? Would a statewide?
We'd love to see something like that. One of our goals is, of course, to have a cap so that there is no new billboards, no bigger billboards. And but it's a matter of numbers. We just don't have the numbers and the money that those interests have.
Mm. Norm in Oneida County, would you agree with that? Do we need a cap on billboards, Norm?
Good morning. We certainly do. I know you touched on billboards earlier. I live up here in Oneida County, and on Highway 51, all the way from Wausau to Tomahawk, it's hideous. It's a blight on the landscape, and it's bad enough to have to look at these billboards during the day, but they're even lit up at night, which is a waste of electricity.
Mm.
And the other thing I could touch on, as long as people have talked on billboards, it's getting awfully noisy up here with the ATVs and the motorcycles and so on and so forth. So, yes, there's a lot of beauty up here, a lot of things to see, but the noise and the billboards really detract from that.
Yeah, Charlie Weath?
Well, that's one of the things that's changed, too, is we now have the state legislature approved and the governor signed a law that allows the LED billboards. And those actually will take more electricity than the static billboard with the lights. But it is kind of silly to see a funeral parlor have a lighted billboard that's on at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we're not interested in fighting over the message, but the billboard interests keep talking about how important billboards are to tourism and the travel economy. But the thing is that more and more billboards are being used for all sorts of things that have nothing to do with travel and tourism, emergency dental care and hip replacement and such nonsense.
Yeah, we're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio and then continue talking with Charlie Weath, Executive Director of Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin, about the issues his group would like to see addressed to make sure that Wisconsin stays scenic. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from Lake Geneva to Madeline Island, from the rolling prairies to our lovely dairies, Wisconsin was made for you and me.
And that's Peter Leidy, who wrote about beautiful Wisconsin. We're talking about scenic Wisconsin during this hour and the threats that are out there to Wisconsin's scenic beauty. Our guest is the executive director of the group Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin, Charlie Weath. His group is meeting in Door County tomorrow to talk about the issues facing Wisconsin's scenic beauty and talk about what can be done to preserve the beautiful scenery in Wisconsin. We wonder what you think, what questions you have at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Patrick in Mequon. Hi, Patrick. You're on the air.
Hi, Joey. Charlie, I got a question. I live in Ozaukee County, the first county north of Milwaukee. And in Mequon-Scenesville, we have an area of very nice natural beauty waterfall. We also have one in nearby Grafton. And in front of both of these waterfalls, these towns or cities have erected chain link fences. Now, the river flows by there real beautifully, but when you get to the waterfall, they knock up a chain link fence, which I think is an eyesore. What are we? My question is, what do we do as citizens to, you know, put pressure on these little towns to say, you know, take down the chain link fence? I mean, if somebody's going to drown, whether it's in the river or fall off the waterfall, I mean, what's the difference? It's people should, you know, safety should be the responsibility of the individual, and the chain link fences, I think, should come down.
Well, that is an issue, of course, especially for those of us here in La Crosse, if you're familiar with our recent history.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is that chain link fences can be replaced with other types of more context-sensitive designs that will accomplish the same purpose, keep the small people from wandering too close to the edge, that sort of thing. They might cost a little bit more, but in some cases they might not cost that much more at all and be a lot more aesthetic than a chain link fence.
But how do we put pressure on our local government as an individual to say, hey, let's do something about this fence?
Well, as an individual, sometimes one person can speak up and get an awful lot accomplished. The one thing I've learned is that you need to research what the problem is and then come up with other solutions. The difficulty, of course, is that once the chain link fence is up, once anything is up, then it's difficult for people to make a change until 30, 40 years from now when the thing needs to be replaced. They're not necessarily going to be wild about doing it unless you can find some sources for funds.
Yeah, Charlie, is your group a resource for people who are concerned about these issues and, you know, to maybe find out some more information about what to do?
Well, that's what we try to do is provide answers to people. If we don't have them, maybe direct them to the right people that do, or at least explain the process that they have to go through to address some of these particular issues. But our primary focus is, of course, the scenic issues involved with the Highway Beautification Act as opposed to what everyone sees out of their own front yard.
Yeah. Your website is scenicwisconsin.org. And aren't you soliciting input from the general public on these issues?
Oh, absolutely. And we want to hear from everyone and whether they have problems or solutions. The big thing that we need is if we're going to put this cap on billboards, is we need more people to speak up. As it stands now, the legislature basically does, for the most part, whatever the billboard interests want. And the design issues, the context-sensitive issues, the scenic issues are often left to the wayside on other things, whether it's wind towers or tree cutting or wildflower planting or whatever.
Yeah. So is this an open meeting for people tomorrow in Door County?
Yeah, we're going to be at the Landmark at 6 o'clock, and we're going to have a scenic seminar, and it's a public meeting, and anyone who wants to attend is more than welcome to, and we'll go through and explain what the basic fundamental issues are as far as the scenic issues, and then people can talk about what they want to do in that part of the state and take it from there.
Next we go to Pat in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I'm not in Green Bay anymore. I'm in Marinette.
Okay.
the comment I wanted to make was your interviewer there mentioned that about the wind towers and the wind farms and all that. First of all, Washington Island does have a wind generator. Second of all, wind generators are put up. There's a lot of thought that has to go into the placement of where these wind farms go. And you just can't put them willy-nilly, you know, wherever they might, you know, not spoil the view. You got two choices. We either put those up or we look at the haze from the coal burners. So I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you. Bye now.
Thanks, Pat. Have a comment for him, Charlie?
Well, I don't know about the wind turbine on Washington Island, but there was a proposal to put a large number of wind turbines out on Lake Michigan. And again, we're not opposed to wind turbines and the alternatives. The question is the siting. It's interesting that when it comes to alternative energy, all of a sudden the scenic issues go out the wayside. And there was a classic case out in California where a gentleman built a solar panel on his house, and the law required that his neighbor cut down his existing trees. There's got to be some balance is what we're after. And that particular part of the state is one of the areas where wind turbines are more likely to generate electricity and get a return on investment. So that is an area that's going to have them. The question is where to put them, how to put them, and so forth, so that we don't necessarily spoil the scenic beauty of everything under the sun just because we want to generate more power.
Yeah. But we do need the power, and some of that power is supplied by wind farms and even you know, big power lines and that sort of thing. How do you how do you reconcile the two?
Well, absolutely, and of course the other thing is that there are proposals. There was just a hearing up here in our area, for example, to have the coal generated power plants out west, and then have the high power transmission lines come across Wisconsin and then cut down to Chicago and farther south. One of the things that we also have to look at is not just trying to feed the demand, but finding ways to reduce the demand and manage what we do and how we do it, so that we don't just have this idea that, that we have to keep demanding and providing more energy just because we happen to be addicted to it. There are ways that we can reduce it, and we do want to reduce the coal and the CO2 emissions. There's no question about that at all. Finding the balance is what we're after.
Next, Barbara in Menominee. Good morning.
Hi, hello. Charlie, I wanted to ask you what can be done about things that serve as billboards but aren't really titled billboards. And I'm thinking about between Menominee and Eau Claire is a huge, right on a big corner, is a big industrial site where they have displayed their huge equipment, big cranes and other huge big equipment, and they all have the company's name on them, and they are all lit all night. But it's not truly a billboard, but it certainly is advertising. So how can we address those kinds of issues and kind of be forewarned about planning for the possibility of those things?
Well, that's a distinct issue that is a really sticky wicket. That's what's considered on-premises advertising. And that falls into a different category than billboards, which is off-premises advertising. And the rules are generally a lot looser for on-premises advertising. And one of the things that we have to look at is, do we really need to light up all of these car lots and industrial equipment lots all night long just because somebody might wander by and want to take a look at something? There are a number of them that have decided that they need to cut back and just use enough lights for security and navigation so that they aren't lit up like a prison yard.
Yeah, so not only do you see the, you know, somewhat ugly car lot, but that light pollution blocks out those lovely stars too, doesn't it?
It does, and then, of course, that's part of the thing that's feeding this demand for more energy. And it is kind of silly to have a billboard or any kind of a sign lit up at 3 o'clock in the morning when hardly anybody's going by and the business isn't even open. At the same time, this gets back to the balance, you do want some lights for security and navigation, so it's a matter of using the right types of lights in the right locations, pointing them down, compact fluorescent as opposed to the mercury vapor and so forth, so that you find that balance.
We're talking with Charlie Weath. He is Executive Director of Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin, talking about the threats and opportunities for Wisconsin when it comes to preserving our scenic beauty. One of the group's priorities, trying to cap the number of billboards that can go up along the roadways. What do you think of that idea, and what are some other threats to Wisconsin's scenic beauty as far as you're concerned? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. I hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll talk about the end of the Democratic presidential nomination process. Barack Obama claimed victory last night, but Hillary Clinton did not concede. We'll talk about it in our next hour. Our next caller talking about scenic Wisconsin issues is John in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Charlie. I was just wondering if you are familiar with the Clean City Movement's that have taken place in South America, like cities like Sao Paulo and Rio and Buenos Aires. They basically want to remove any visual pollution, large billboards, and even obnoxious signage on buildings to give people a better sense of the actual city. And I'm wondering, is there any similar movements within cities here in Wisconsin that you know of?
Yes, I'm familiar with that. It's very interesting that they've decided to basically take back their city from the vinyl. The change in the last few years has been that you can take vinyl and print on it and make it as big as you want and hang it or wrap it on just about anything, shrink wrap it on a bus, if you will. And they've decided that they've had enough of basically being shouted at by all the advertisers and cleaned it up. Alaska is the last state to have taken this on. They had a referendum up there which basically said that there will be no more billboards and they'll take them down. They also had the money to do it because you can't just say we want the billboards down or the signs down or whatever. You have to compensate the owners in this country based on the HBA. And so that would be a monumental task for us to do here in Wisconsin. So at this point, the first step for us to do is to put a cap on the billboard statewide. That's something we need more people to join us and speak up on. There are some communities in this state, Brookfield, Pewaukee, some of the suburban communities who have been very progressive regarding their sign control. And you'll notice that as soon as you, again, cross that imaginary line, it's not just that you won't see billboards, but we will see the on-premises signs lower, and they won't have the flashing LED lights. You can go through Monona, for example, and see the same sort of thing. You just don't see that sign clutter. And by leveling the playing field for the businesses, it actually helps them. Because when you go to other places, the difficulty is if you're trying to find a particular business or service, sometimes you can't find it for the signs because they're too big, they're too many, they're too whatever. It becomes a real difficulty when you get that clutter to navigate. So, yeah, we're seeing that, but the difficulty is for those of us in more established communities that have had these things going on for 30 or 40 years, you can deal with something new, but it's much more difficult to deal with something that's already there.
We have an email from Barbara in McHenry, Illinois. Very short. Billboards and junkyards, etc., tell a very important story about an area's history and culture. I guess that's in defense of billboards, Charlie.
Well, I suppose so. When you go through garbage, you can find out an awful lot about people. I'm saying that jokingly, mm-hmm. but it's actually true. It does tell about the quality of life, what kind of people we are, and so forth. But one of the comments that I hear frequently from people around our state is that people don't want their community to look like the Dells. And that's really sad. Because the reason the Dells began was because of its scenic beauty, and then you had this leapfrog of, well, I'm going to put up my business and try and attract customers, and so I'll put up big signs, and someone else does the same thing, and, well, I'll put more big signs up, and I'll put mine with lights, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually, as I was referring to earlier, take away from what you're trying to attract people to,
yeah.
and you make it more difficult for people to find you.
Well, you know, Door County is also known for its scenic beauty, and it's a huge tourism area, too. But I don't remember the number of billboards in Door County as I do see in the Dells.
No, there's you know, Sauk County has the most billboards of any county out there other than Milwaukee County.
Door is controlling the number of billboards.
Door has a lot more controls. But the highways leading up to Door County are seeing more and more billboards.
Yeah,
and even people within Door County are questioning, and this is one reason why we're having the scenic seminar there, is they're even questioning some of the development. And again, many people are not opposed to development and progress, but I use this all the time. You know, there's growth and there's progress. And, for example, my waistline is not progress. And most people can relate to that. So it's finding that fine balance between anything goes and absolute control of nothing. And we're not bananas, by the way. that's the difficulty, is finding that balance. And this is where people need to just think about it a little bit more, like the caller earlier from Baraboo with their comprehensive plan.
Next, we go to Mark in Waupaca. Hi, you're on the air. That's a pretty area, too.
Yes, it's a beautiful area, mm-hmm. and we'd like to keep it that way, too. I work with a group that might be able to help your guest out as well as your listening public out there. We work with telecommunications facilities in helping to site facilities here in Wisconsin. And I think that when we look at the cellular wireless facilities issue, we're just beginning to see the tip of the iceberg. It's estimated that there's only about 15% of what is needed for the cellular infrastructure in Wisconsin right now, and I'll tell you, it's just going to get worse.
In terms of cell phone towers and that sort of
correct.
Thing.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Blighting the landscape, the porcupine effect. And what we do is offer a rock-solid ordinance absolutely free to the to counties, to cities, and we work with the general public, too, if they would like to be interested in this issue. And we also bring a table of experts to the that are in the field. We also bring these experts to the table to help you work with siting these wireless facilities and getting the cellular companies what they need as opposed to what they want.
Yeah. And what's the name of your group, Mark?
It is the Center for Municipal Solutions.
Okay.
And you can call us here in Waupaca at 715-258-9196. Mm-hmm. And like I say, the ordinance is absolutely free, and if anybody would like a presentation on it, we'd be more than happy to do that.
Well, that would be helpful, Charlie.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting is that you'll see two or three cell towers almost right next to each other, and in some cases it's because the cell companies simply won't cooperate and share the antennas on the same tower. And we want the cell technology. It's an important part of our life now, necessary for many people. And the thing is that you can make a better cell tower. You can site a better cell tower, and you can basically force, by establishing standards, the cell companies to start to cooperate and share towers.
An email from Richard who says, the biggest single problem for me is the private ownership of waterfront property. What should be great scenic views of the lakes and rivers turns out to be a view of houses, driveways, bars, no trespassing signs, fences, and other obstructions. He would like to see the state to begin to buy back waterfront property all across the state and restore it to its natural condition. What do you think of that?
Well, that would be a tough one because, of course, it's the old money.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that can be done. Interestingly, if you go out to Lake Tahoe, they have a commission out there that was established by Congress for Lake Tahoe, and they have controls over what goes along the lakefront. We also have the Lower Wisconsin Riverway, which has controls over what goes on within view from the river. And the whole idea is to try and preserve that scenic beauty so that we don't spoil it. And that can be as simple as saying we're going to require context-sensitive design. Over here in La Crosse County, we have some ordinances that have been established for the blufflands because someone will want to build some McMansion up on the top of a bluff with gleaming stainless steel and glass that everybody in the valley is going to be able to see. It's wonderful for them to have that view, but at the same time, it takes away from the other. This is difficult, though, because we also need to preserve and protect private property ownership rights, and this is a thing where we have to find this balance, and it's a tough one.
Yeah. Irene in Brookfield would like to hear some steps on what to do next. I guess maybe we could focus in on your desire to see a cap on billboards. Where does this go from here?
Well, what we'd like to do is get something introduced in the legislature, but frankly, with the way the system works now, it all comes down to numbers and contributions to political campaigns. And we don't have fat wallets. We're just a grassroots organization. And so the only way we're going to influence this is via numbers. And we know from all the polls that are out there that most people would just love to see a cap on billboards. But the only way that's going to happen is if we have more people join with us and speak up and say, we've had enough, we want to take back our state.
So call your legislator.
Call your legislator, call us, mm-hmm. go to scenicwisconsin.org, send us an email. We we certainly need financing and help from that standpoint, but it's really the numbers that's the most important thing for us. It's really disappointing to go down to Madison and talk with the legislators and find out that they're not hearing from people on these particular issues. And as a result, the only people they hear from are from the billboard interests, and so that's the way they vote.
Well, I hope you have a productive seminar in Door County tomorrow. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Charlie Weath is Executive Director of Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin. Thanks to Rob Ferret, Cynthia Schuster, and Karen Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.